churches in the Waikato. So he is there preaching this morning. We have been friends with him for the last 25 years. In fact, Ariki and Pam were ordained the same time I was, and we did our training together. Incredible couple. So I spoke at the funeral. That was last week. So that's where Ray is today. So it was a little bit sudden. All right, today. The multitasking pastor, I tell you. All right, I'm all good. All right, as you might have noticed, I have been quite fascinated by animals in the Bible this year and how God uses animals. I've looked at bears, I've looked at foxes, eagles, sheep. And so today we are going to look at the donkey. Show some excitement. Now, when I think of a donkey, I think of a very stubborn animal. Where's my donkey? Not the brightest in the animal kingdom. Not too comfortable to sit on. They're quite small animals. They have quite a difficult personality. And apparently, and I haven't tried this, but apparently you don't eat them. The meat is quite tough. Has anyone tried? No, okay. A donkey is mentioned over 130 times, mostly in the First Testament, and only about 7 times in the New Testament. Donkeys are very significant in our Bible. They play a really important role. They carry people, they carry bags. I guess they can be your friends. So in Genesis 22:3, Abraham takes his son Isaac to sacrifice him on a mountain. And on the way there, he tells his two servants to wait with the donkey while he and Isaac continue alone. In Judges 15:15, Samson kills 1,000 Philistines, defeating them with the jawbone of a donkey that was dead. That's important. Oh dear. Judges 5:10. White donkeys are mentioned in the Song of Deborah and Barak. Psalms 104 mentions wild donkeys quenching their thirst from water in springs flowing through valleys in praise of the Creator. But this morning, we are going to look at 3 stories of donkey and donkeys. And our first one is Saul's donkey. We are going to read our Bible today. So if you've got your Bible, get it ready. If you've got your own translation, get it, because we're going to do a lot of reading. 1 Samuel 9, and we're going to read the whole chapter. 1 Samuel 9, the whole chapter. If you've got the Bible on your phone, it's free. Download it now. All right, I'll stand out of the way so you can read along. 1 Samuel 9, the whole chapter. There was a Benjamite, a man of standing, whose name was Kish, son of Abiel, the son of Zerah, the son of Becherath, the son of Afia, someone of Benjamin. Kish had a son named Saul, as handsome a young man as could be found anywhere in Israel, and he was head taller than anyone else. Now, the donkeys belonging to Saul's father Kish were lost. And Kish said to his son Saul, "Take one of the servants with you and go and look for the donkeys." So he passed through the hill country of Ephraim and through the area around Shalishah, but they did not find them. They went on into the district of Shalim, but the donkeys were not there. Then he passed through the territory of Benjamin, but they did not find them. When they reached the district of Suth, Saul said to the servant who was with him, "Come, let's go back, or my father will stop thinking about the donkeys and start worrying about us." But the servant replied, "Look, in this town there's a man of God. He is highly respected, and everything he says comes true. Let's go there now. Perhaps he will tell us what way to take." Saul said to his servant, "If we go, what can we give the man? The food in our sacks is gone. We have no gift to take to the man of God. What do we have?" The servant answered him again, "Look," he said, "I have a quarter of a shekel of silver. I will give it to the man of God so that he will tell us what way to take." Formerly in Israel, if someone went to inquire of God, they would say, "Come, let us go to the seer," because the prophet of today used to be called the seer. "Good," Saul said to his servant, "come, let's go." So they set out for the town where the man of God was. As they were going up the hill to the town, they met some young woman coming out to draw water, and they asked them, "Is the seer here?" "He is," they answered. "He's ahead of you. Hurry now. He has just come to our town today, for the people have a sacrifice at the high place. As soon as you enter the town, you will find him before he goes up to the high place to eat. The people will not begin eating until he comes, because he must bless the sacrifice. Afterwards, those who are invited will eat. Go up now. You should find him about this time." They went up to the town, and as they were entering it, there was Samuel coming towards them on his way up to the high place. Now, the day before Saul came, the Lord had revealed this to Samuel. "About this time tomorrow, I will send you a man from the land of Benjamin. Anoint him ruler over my people Israel. He will deliver them from the hand of the Philistines. I have looked on my people, for their cry has reached me." When Samuel caught sight of Saul, the Lord said to him, "This is the man I spoke to you about. He will govern my people." Saul approached Samuel in the gateway and asked, "Would you please tell me where the seer's house is?" "I am the seer," Samuel replied. "Go up ahead of me to the high place, for today you are to eat with me. And in the morning I will send you on your way, and I will tell you all that is in your heart. As for the donkeys you lost 3 days ago, do not worry about them. They have been found. And to whom is all the desire of Israel turned, if not to you and your whole family line?" Saul answered, "But am I not a Benjamite from the smallest tribe of Israel? And is not my clan the least of all the clans of all the tribes of Benjamin? Why do you say such a thing to me?" Then Samuel brought Saul and his servant into the hall and seated them at the head of those who were invited, about 30 in number. Samuel said to the cook, "Bring the piece of meat I gave you, the one I told you to lay aside." So the cook took up the thigh with what was on it and set it in front of Saul. Samuel said, "Here is what has been kept for you. Eat, because it was set aside for you for this occasion, from the time I said, 'I have invited guests.'" And Saul dined with Samuel that day. After they came down from the high place to the town, Samuel talked with Saul on the roof of his house. They rose about daybreak, and Samuel called to Saul on the roof, "Get ready, and I will send you on your way." When Saul got ready, he and Samuel went outside together. As they were going down to the edge of the town, Samuel said to Saul, "Tell the servant to go on ahead of us." And the servant did so. "But you stay here for a while, so that I may give you a message from God." Saul was the son of a very wealthy man called Kish. Saul was good looking, tall, handsome, a bit like my Ray. And one morning, Saul's dad realizes his donkeys are missing. Now, to own many donkeys tell us they are very well off. They've got money. And to lose them would have been really a big disaster. I imagine his donkeys were used for some sort of transportation and maybe in farming. So our handsome young lad is told by his dad to take one servant and look for the donkeys. Now, I imagine Saul had other ideas on how to spend his day instead of going on a donkey hunt. But off he went through hills and valleys and no idea where he was going. You know, it must have been a little bit like a treasure hunt. Lots of walking and very few clues. And how frustrating, because these donkeys could have been absolutely anywhere. In the end, our good-looking lad Saul wants to give up and go home because he was over the donkeys. But the servant said, "Hey, wait, there's a man of God in this town. He's highly respected. Maybe he knows where these donkeys are." Saul's lack of knowledge about Samuel shows me his ignorance of spiritual matters. I mean, they lived in the same territory. But anyway, off they went. And then they were worried to turn up empty-handed. And the servant has the silver, not the wealthy, rich boy, Saul. They find Samuel, they eat, and then the chapter just finishes, like, done. And it kind of leaves you wondering, what's going to happen next? The donkeys have been found. But what about Saul? What message did he get from God? Saul was on a donkey hunt, but it was his servant that realized they needed spiritual help. Saul thought you had to pay for that, but it's the servant who gave the silver. But Saul did listen, and he did obey. You see, God had a bigger plan. The donkey hunt was actually God's way of leading Saul to his destiny to meet Samuel. It's funny. Makes me think. So often in life, we get caught up in our everyday problems and frustrations, chasing donkeys, not realizing that God is steering us into something much greater. We might be grumbling and asking, why do I have to go through all of this? Why do I have to deal with this? And God is just smiling, going, hang on, you'll see. I love this donkey story. It shows how God is in control. There was a reason that this one servant was with Saul. There was a reason they couldn't find the donkeys. There was a reason that the servant knew about Samuel. There was a reason the servant had some silver. There was a reason the woman at the well knew where Samuel was. And there was a reason that the first person they see walking into town was Samuel. God's guidance is perfect, even if we don't see it. Now, as you read on in chapter 10, Samuel anoints Saul, saying, "Has not the Lord anointed you ruler of the inheritance?" Saul, our good-looking lad, was going to be king and lead his people. So awesome. Now, here it is. In biblical days, kings rode on donkeys, not horses. They rode on donkeys, not horses. There is such an irony here. Saul is looking for donkeys. At the same time, Israel is looking for a king. The donkeys are found when the king is found. Wow. I love that. So what can we learn from the donkey story today? Now, to me, this is a story of encouragement. It shows me that God has a plan for every single one of us, and it's bigger than we can imagine. So next time you find yourself on a donkey hunt, remember God has a plan. Trust him. So that was Saul's donkey. Our next donkey, and most of you will know the story, is Balaam's donkey. Balaam's donkey. All right, we're going to read Numbers 22, verse 21 to 39. Numbers 22, verse 21. Balaam got up in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went with the Moabite officials. But God was very angry when he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the road to oppose him. Balaam, riding on his donkey, and his two servants were with him. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with a drawn sword in his hand, it turned off the road into a field. Balaam beat it to get it back on the road. Then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path through the vineyards with walls on both sides. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, it pressed close to the wall, crushing Balaam's foot against it. So he beat the donkey again. Then the angel of the Lord moved on ahead and stood in a narrow place where there was no room to turn, either to the right or to the left. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, it lay down under Balaam, and he was angry and beat it with a staff. Then the Lord opened the donkey's mouth, and it said to Balaam, "What have I done to you to make you beat me these three times?" And Balaam answers the donkey, "You've made a fool of me. If only I had a sword in my hand, I would kill you right now." The donkey said to Balaam, "Am I not your own donkey, which you've always ridden to this day? Have I been in the habit of doing this to you?" No, he says. Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with his sword drawn. So he bowed low and fell face down. The angel of the Lord asked him, "Why have you beaten your donkey these three times? I have come here to oppose you because your path is a reckless one before me. The donkey saw me and turned away from me these three times. If it had not turned away, I would certainly have killed you by now, but I would have spared it." Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, "I have sinned. I did not realize you were standing in the road to oppose me. Now, if you are displeased, I will go back." The angel of the Lord said to Balaam, "Go with the man, but speak only what I tell you." So Balaam went with Balak's officials. When Balak heard that Balaam was coming, he went out to meet him at the Moabite town on the Arnon border, at the edge of his territory. Balak said to Balaam, "Did I not send you an urgent summons? Why didn't you come to me? Am I really not able to reward you?" "Well, I've come to you now," Balaam replied, "but I can't say whatever I please. I must speak only what God puts in my mouth." And then Balaam went with Balak to that town. Another awesome story, right? In fact, I think this is probably the funniest story in the Bible. So there's a king named Balak. He was a very troubled king, and one day wakes up to find the Israelites marching through the land. Now Balak, it's a bit tricky, Balak and Balaam, they sound so similar, but Balak is really scared. He's full of fear and he is terrified. Now there's a rabbi called Hirsch explains that the Hebrew means that he was so scared that he just wanted to throw up. Balak realizes he can't fight them, so he wants Balaam, a prophet, to curse them. He offers Balaam a financial reward, but Balaam says no, so Balak offers a bigger amount. Balak knew he couldn't fight the Israelites, so he decided to attack them on a spiritual level. He wants the blessing over the Israelites to be destroyed and for Balaam to curse them. Now, Balaam is really dumb. I mean, to try and destroy the blessing that God has given to his people, and maybe greed got in the way too. So Balaam saddles his donkey and goes with them. God knows Balaam's heart and his real intentions. You cannot fool God, although Balaam thought he had changed God's mind. And then here is our donkey. Balaam's donkey saved Balaam's life. Balaam had no idea how much trouble he was in with God. God was so angry with Balaam that he sent an angel to block his way, not once, not twice, but three times. And each time the donkey saw the angel, but Balaam didn't. I mean, poor donkey. Each time Balaam beats this donkey with his staff. Now, at a guess, the donkey didn't know that Balaam could not see the angel. And the power of God comes over the donkey, and this donkey starts to talk. The donkey is asking Balaam why he is being beaten. Now, what is really funny here is that Balaam is so mad that he isn't even surprised that the donkey's talking to him, and he starts talking back to the donkey. This is the highlight of this story. The donkey saw the angel, the donkey saw God, and talked. Balaam does not realize God is near. His donkey did. Balaam had to learn from a donkey before he could learn from God. And Balaam said, if only I had a sword in my hand, I would kill you right now. And seconds later, the Lord opens Balaam's eyes and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with the sword drawn. How ironic. The one who was ready to kill with the sword was the one who would have been killed with the sword, if it weren't for a talking donkey. And now Balaam realizes he's made a terrible mistake. He totally misjudged God. This God means what he says. This God cannot be manipulated or used for our own purposes. This God must be obeyed. Balak was so keen for Balaam to start his curse work that he goes some distance to meet him at the border of the land. But Balaam tells him he could only speak God's words, and each time he spoke, he blessed the Israelites, which made Balak furious. A donkey helped Balaam find God. Now we can all here wait for a talking donkey or an angel with a sword, or we can start obeying God's word today. We may know what God wants us to do, but we can become blinded by our desire for money, possessions, or prestige. The donkey saved Balaam's life, but made him look stupid in the process. So Balaam lashed out at the donkey. We sometimes strike out at blameless people who get in our way because we're embarrassed or our pride has been hurt. Lashing out at others can actually be a sign that there's something wrong with us. Don't allow your own hurt or your pride lead you to hurt other people. If God can speak through a donkey, he can speak through you. If God can speak through a donkey, he can speak through every single one of you. The donkey was a better prophet than Balaam. So when a donkey starts talking to you, take note. Right, we've done Saul's donkey, Balaam's donkey. Now our last donkey today is Jesus' donkey. Matthew 21, verse 1 to 11. Matthew 21, verse 1 to 11. As they approached Jerusalem and came to that place on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophets. Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" And the crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Every Easter, we read this and we sing Hosanna. You all know this story inside out. You've learned it in Sunday school. It's all about Jesus who we love. But I've always wondered why Jesus sent his disciples to get a donkey and a colt. Now, a colt, in case you don't know, is a young male donkey for him to ride on going into Jerusalem. So all week, I have been reading about donkeys. And everywhere that I was reading about this story, it talks about Jesus using the donkey for humility. But it's not. I'm going against every preacher you've ever heard. Because who rode donkeys? Kings. Jesus rode a donkey as a king. Jesus is humble. That is who he is. But he rode a donkey because he is king. I'm going off my notes because I get so excited about this. You know, I just really felt there was a lot more and how important the role was to carry our Jesus. The prophecy says, "See, here your king comes to you, comma, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." It's in Zechariah 9. As we've seen, as we've talked about, if you owned a donkey, it meant you were wealthy and you had a lot of money. Saul's dad was very wealthy. There was a reason he wanted all those donkeys to be found. Donkeys were royal animals. Kings rode on donkeys. They would only ever be seen on a donkey and not a horse. There's a famous Mesopotamian quote of a king giving advice to his son. He tells him never to be seen on a horse, only ever a donkey. We have an image of a donkey, what a donkey kind of looks like. But what does a donkey look like in the Middle East? Our donkeys are quite small and gray, and they're actually Italian donkeys. Thank you, Mr. Google. The donkeys in the Middle East are much bigger, and to be honest, much better looking. They came from Egypt, from the Nile Valley. If you cross a donkey with a horse, you get a mule. You know that, right? A mule is a donkey. Now, the native donkeys in the Middle East look like mules. They're not mules. They're not crossed. They are donkeys, but they look like mules. So they're a lot bigger than our donkeys. You can see why kings and wealthy people owned them. They are a lot more comfortable to sit to sit on. They live longer than our little donkeys. And apparently eat less. And they're not as stubborn and more intelligent than our donkeys. The skin, I might have to add, the skin is less sensitive than that of a horse and more resistant to sun and rain. Does this make sense? It does, right? They can live up to 50 years, and their hooves are harder than horses, which makes them great for the rocky terrain and the deserts. And just as a funny bit, they can kick sideways. I know, cool, eh? Bit of useless information. But anyway, the prophecy was fulfilled when Jesus entered as a king. Donkeys. King rode on donkeys. Jesus was humble, but he entered as a king. Then it says colt. the foal of a donkey, a baby donkey, translated. So why did he want the young colt? Now again, they're bigger than our little donkeys, because Jesus is the first person to ride on him. No one else has ridden this donkey. This young donkey mule, bigger than our young donkeys, had such a huge part to play in our Easter story, but has been overlooked. He carried our king. So what can we learn from Jesus' donkey? The donkey was where Jesus wanted him to be, the right place at the right time. He was available and willing to be used by Jesus, and he cooperated with Jesus. So in conclusions, donkeys play a significant role in our Bible. I've actually really enjoyed this week looking into all this. I hope you've enjoyed it a little bit too. But it reminded me again how important it is to look into things written in the Bible and not just to take someone's word for it. When you simply understand a donkey is like a mule, it just changes everything on how you read the stories. They are a symbol of wealth, peace, hard work, fulfillment of prophecy, provision, and sometimes they can even talk. But the biggest lesson is this for you today. If God can use a donkey, he can use you too. If God can use a donkey, he can use you too. Please stand. And let's pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for today and the privilege and the honor it is to be with your people and in your house this morning. And Lord, I want to ask that you help us in our everyday frustrations and problems. When we feel we are on a donkey hunt, and help us to realize that actually you're steering us to something much greater. Help us to trust you and to trust you in the plans that you have for us. Lord, help us not to get blinded by wrong desires, but to listen to your voice and only your voice. To do what you ask of us and to obey your word. Lord Jesus, help us to be available and to cooperate. Help us to be at the right place at the right time. Lord Jesus, use us. In your mighty name. Amen. 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 If you want prayer this morning, there will be someone here. Please enjoy your coffees and teas and have a great week.
From heaven you can hear, I know you're drawing near as I worship. I'm held within your love, the wind and waves won't come, but I will stay here. I lift my hands to heaven, hear my heart surrender. I tell my soul again, you Lord I hold. And though the seas are raging, you will speak and tame them. And you I find my rest, you are in control. Through valleys I will trust, your spirit is enough to keep me walking. You guide my every step, speak life to me again, Lord, Lord, I need you. I lift my hands to heaven, hear my heart surrender. I tell my soul again, you Lord of all. And though the seas are raging, you will speak and tame them, and you are found my rest. Trust in only you. No one can add to your perfection. You're the beginning and the end, more than I can comprehend. There is no one like you, no one. But I will trust in only. Can add to your perfection. You're the beginning and the end, more than I can comprehend. There is no one like you, no one. And I will trust in only you. No one can add to your.
Thank you. Become the light that shines in us. no darkness in your way, so have your way. Lord, have your way.
beyond the sky.